We're talking today with livestock market economist at Oklahoma State University, Dr. Daryl Peel. Daryl, you just have wrapped up your Cattlemen's College session here at the 2015 Cattle Industry Convention in San Antonio. Full room, a lot of questions. One question that you had that I thought was pretty fascinating, and you kind of had to scratch your head a little bit on it, was the guy said, "I don't know if I want to rebuild. I don't know. I like these high-priced cattle." I guess there's a lot of folks really that haven't said that, but they do like it.
Well, certainly. And the reason that I hesitated a bit on that question is simply that I don't think about it very much, in the sense that, to maintain these prices would require some sort of artificial control or supply management in the industry. And that's about the last thing most of the people in the cattle industry are interested in. So we're going to do what we're going to do. And I spend more of my time trying to figure out what we're going to do and how fast we're going to do it. But that doesn't change the fact that here we are, and for the producers that are in the industry today, the ones who haven't suffered maybe as much from drought liquidation and actually have cattle are really enjoying these prices. And that's a great thing. And they deserve every bit of it.
And in your way of thinking, the numbers that we ended up with, especially about a year ago and over the last couple of years that we've kind of bottomed out with, those were numbers that were really as much as anything drought-induced.
Certainly the last 3 years has been the drought. You can lay it at that door, not only from the standpoint of what we see and where we see those changes taking place that coincide for the most part with the drought, but I think when you look at the heifer things we've tried to do the last few years, I think it's pretty clear that producers' intentions were somewhat different than what the reality was that they had to deal with. And so I don't think producers through this whole, certainly in the last 3 years through the drought, have had a liquidation mindset. I think they've been ready to expand. I think they were aware that we were smaller than we needed to be. They just physically haven't been able to put together that expansion. And so there's a certain amount of pent-up expansion, if you will, in where we find ourselves today. And that may explain, again, this what I called a spike bottom, this rapid transition from liquidation to expansion, I think makes sense in that context.
You know, you think about where we are right now. We're starting that rebuilding process. But the age-old question comes back to that guy that asked the question about he likes those high prices. And the decision is, do you rebuild or do you go ahead and sell and take the profit right now?
You know, I think that's a very important question. And again, when you throw in this issue of the age dynamics or the age demographics of our industry right now, older producers, have to make that decision for themselves of whether they're in for another go round here or whether they're going to take advantage of this as an opportunity to get out and then implement that. And that's really the key. From an industry standpoint, it sounds callous to say this, and I don't mean it that way, but it doesn't matter who's doing it. What we're worried about at the industry level is that it gets done. But for the individual producers, very much a question of who's going to do it. And so, and depending on how that plays out, that can have an impact on the overall productivity and really the speed with which things happen in this industry over the next few years.
Seems like that, I know you raised the question kind of rhetorically, and I heard a lot of other folks do it as well, that we were almost to that point of being too small.
I think so. I mean, I think we were forced to get smaller than we intended to. I think it probably did have some impacts on, market share, if you will. Now, I'm not as worried about that as some folks. I think we'll get market share back. Beef is very competitive on a value basis, if not on a price basis. And I think we saw that this last year, even though we have had concerns about how demand would play out. Most of our concerns just come from the fact that we've never been here before, and so we're in uncharted waters. But the bottom line is, I think beef still has value to a strong consumer segment. And as prices, well, as supplies ration that out, those folks that really do value beef have stepped up and they're willing to pay whatever it takes. And so I think we're, at this point, I think we're in okay shape with that. And I think we will recover market share as we rebuild supplies in this industry.
I know what Dr. Tonser's beef demand research indicates, that it's not just the tight supplies, it's been very strong beef demand.
No, that's right. I think if you account for, you know, the other demand factors in terms of competing meats and so on, demand has been, I mean, every indication is that demand did strengthen in 2014 above and beyond what prices were going to, or what supplies were going to push prices up. And so, I think we probably undersold our demand strength to some extent in this industry. We probably need to give it a little more credit and be a little more assured as we go forward that the demand is there.
Let's talk a little bit about this whole idea of the economics. Your topic today was the economics of herd rebuilding. These high prices have made it a pricey decision to hold those heifers. The financing and everything is big money these days.
It's a lot of dollars, and certainly there's more sort of absolute financial risk comes with that. At the same time, if you look at, you know, sort of a basic kind of an approach of, how many calves does it take to pay for a cow at today's prices, that ratio is not a lot different now than it was when cattle prices were a third of what they were and cow prices were a third of what they are. So, so the real key then to a producer being willing to step out there, accepting that there is more financial risk and just more total dollars needed, the capital requirements are higher. But it really comes back to the same question that's been there in every cattle cycle previously, and that's a producer's expectations about whether these prices are good enough, long enough, to make it worth it for me to invest in that heifer rather than take the immediate sale value that she has. And again, that's not just an individual level. An individual producer, for whatever reason, may decide I'm not going to save this heifer, sells her and takes and pockets the money. That doesn't mean that the next guy who bought her didn't take her home and try to breed her. So we have to look at heifer retention again at an industry level. It's kind of like the cow side. One man's cull is another man's new cow in this market, and the same thing on the heifer side. So it's not just the individual decision, but the collective impact of that across all producers in terms of who's investing and retaining heifers and who's choosing to sell those animals right now.
I know you haven't probably noodled everything you've wanted to or analyzed everything you've wanted out of that inventory report yet, but you've had a chance to think on those numbers. And here in the southwest Oklahoma, Texas, pretty strong beef cow herd number increases. Heifers, pretty strong heifer retention. What do these numbers really tell you?
Well, you know, we knew the interest was there. You pick up some of it anecdotally. I have a little trouble, to be honest with you, reconciling the rate of growth in the southern plains relative to what's happening in the northern plains. Now, that said, the northern plains never experienced the drought liquidation, so they weren't drawn down. They probably weren't looking to expand as much. But the other side of that is for over a year, what we've been hearing and seeing in market reports was that the highest and the extremely strong heifer prices and bred cow prices and so on was in the northern plains. And so, there's a little bit of a disconnect there, perhaps. But the bottom line is so much of our cow herd is located in the southern plains specifically with the size of Texas and Oklahoma and the surrounding region. And with the impacts that the drought had, there's a lot bigger total rebuilding effort needed down here, and it would appear that it has started.
You mentioned one thing in your presentations I hadn't really thought a whole lot about, but this eastern red cedar issue that we have in our part of the world, that if we really did address that, we could dramatically and actually up the number of cows that we could carry, right?
Yeah, I think, we have, I'm not sure the exact number, depends on who you ask, but certainly several million acres in Oklahoma that are severely encroached with red cedar at this point. And we haven't controlled it, and we do lose grazing. I mean, we know from the numbers that you can eventually reach essentially 100% loss of grazing potential when those acres become fully encroached with red cedar. And the incentives have not been strong enough in the past for landowners on a private basis to control that. the other side of this issue, of course, is there are some real public dimensions to this thing in terms of the wildfire risk, what that does to, you know, other landowners and homeowners. There's all of the allergy problems and public health issues that go along with red cedar. So there's certainly an argument for a public role in this as well. But just the basic cattle industry economics would tell you that perhaps the incentives are there now to do a little better job controlling cedar, getting a grazing management plan in place to keep it controlled, and as a result, we could increase, cow carrying capacity in parts of Oklahoma.
And, you know, we'd be talking about, I would think, quite a few cows that you could actually add pretty easily if you had them controlled.
Yeah, I think so. I think you could add, a significant number of cows and be in a more stable forage situation from the standpoint of managing through droughts and so on, if you had those pastures in better shape and a management plan to keep them that way.
Going forward, what's the strategy? In other words, what's your advice these days to that cattle producer in this era of we're starting to see that rebuilding going on?
Well, you know, it jumped up very quickly last fall, concerns that, okay, prices are too high, it's in some sense too late. You know, even with the stronger than expected increase in the cow herd numbers in this cattle inventory report, my analysis would suggest we're still, a couple million head short of where we need to be at a minimum, perhaps a little more than that. And so, I think the incentives offered by the market, that is to say, high prices, will continue until such time as people do respond. The producers I worry about the most that could get hurt in this deal are the ones who are most hesitant on the front end, finally give in after 2 or 3 years of high prices and say, okay, I got to go out and, you know, the thing you don't want to be in any cattle cycle is the last guy to pay high prices for cows. And that worries me about some producers, that hesitation now then will translate into, a decision that is, in fact, too late somewhere down the road. And so I think producers really need to think about where do I want to be and where am I going to want to be, 2 years from now if the high prices continue. If that tells you you want to expand, then I think you want to go ahead and start that process now, perhaps a little bit tentatively if you're concerned about whether it's going to be strong enough. But I think you want to start that process sooner rather than later and then be prepared to modify that as you go along and certainly be prepared to try to anticipate the top at some point.
Thank you, Daryl. Dr. Daryl Peel, Extension Livestock Market Economist at Oklahoma State University, on the scene here in San Antonio at the Cattle Industry Convention 2015, one of the participants at this year's Cattlemen's College. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.